Yeah. We know that Christ is truly risen from the dead, victorious King. Deal kindly with us. Yeah. The Lord be with you. A reading from the Holy Gospel according to John. Jesus said to his disciples, "Do not let your hearts be troubled. Have faith in God and faith in me. In my Father's house there are many dwelling places. Otherwise, how could I have told you that I was going to prepare a place for you? I am indeed going to prepare a place for you. And when I shall come back to take you with me, that where I am, you also may be. You know the way that leads where I go." "Lord," said Thomas, "we do not know where you are going. How can we know the way?" Jesus told him, "I am the way and the truth and the life. He who comes to the Father must come through me." This is the Gospel of the Lord. These words of our Lord were spoken, as we know, at the Last Supper. Whatever else Christ wants to tell us, it is there is no other way we can reach our heavenly destiny except through Him. In other words, there is no salvation for anyone. Anyone, anyone. Hindu, Buddhist, Shinto, Muslim, Jew, or Christian. No one is saved, no one, except through Christ. What is He telling us? He is telling us that He is the source of all the grace that every human being needs to reach heaven. What does that mean? It means that except for the grace which Christ merited by His life and death on the cross, no one can reach heaven. What do we mean? I keep repeating. It is only what He taught that every human being must know with a mind. It is only by the commandments that He prescribed that everyone must obey to be saved. It is only by the supernatural power that Christ provides that anyone can reach His destiny. When we see that after almost 2,000 years, most of the human race has not even heard of the name of Jesus Christ, this should tell us that something is wrong. It cannot be that God does not want everyone to be saved. It cannot be that Christ does not want everyone to know and love Him and thereby reach heaven. If there is one truth we better know, I repeat, we better know, not everyone will reach heaven. Not all will be saved. Only those who, according to the grace that God gives them, are faithful, I repeat, to what Christ taught and He prescribed, will reach their destiny. For me, one of the most sobering, dare I say terrifying, statements in the Gospels is Christ's statement, "The path that leads to life is narrow, and few, for me, the most frightening single word in the New Testament is the word few. But no volumes have been written on who and how many will be saved. All I know is that Jesus Christ is a unique source of salvation. But then this places, and I couldn't be more serious, this places an awful responsibility on us who unworthily believe in Christ, have heard His message, and I'm talking to the right audience. Anyone who comes regularly, and some of you at some distance, to 6:30 Mass in the morning, even in the dead of winter, God bless you. You have the faith. But our responsibility is to share that faith. And dear Lord, how many? We don't have to go to Afghanistan or Tanzania, Detroit. How many do not know Jesus Christ? I'm not sure the exact number. My memory tells me 43 churches have been closed in Detroit. Chicago, figure I remember, is 62. Millions of people living in these cities, closed Catholic churches. You know why? Because the people in these cities have not been taught the true faith. Lord Jesus, when You tell us, "No one comes to the Father but by Me," when You told us, "I am the way, the truth, and the life," remind us, dear Savior, of the heavy responsibility we have to share our knowledge of You with everyone who enters our life, so that we may be the channels of grace to others by living our lives faithfully, by knowing our faith deeply, and dear Savior, dear Jesus, that we may suffer like You, so that You may use us to bring the knowledge and love of Your name to others. Because except for You, no one will reach their destiny. Amen. In the name of the Father, and of the Son, and of the Holy Spirit. Amen. Hallelujah. Go and teach all people my gospel. I am with you always until the end of the world.
Amen.
The Lord be with you.
And also with you.
A reading from the Holy Gospel according to John.
Glory to you, Lord.
And Jesus said to his disciples, I give you my assurance, whatever you ask the Father, he will give you in my name. Until now, you have not asked for anything in my name. Ask, you shall receive, that your joy may be full. I have spoken these things to you in their language. A time will come when I shall no longer do so, but shall tell you about the Father in plain words. On that day, you will ask in my name, and I do not say that I will petition the Father for you. The Father already loves you because you have loved me, and I have believed. You have believed that I came from God. I did indeed come from the Father. I came into the world. Now I am leaving the world to go to the Father. This is the gospel of the Lord.
Praise to you, Lord Jesus Christ.
During these days between Christ's ascension and Pentecost Sunday, this is a very important period in the history of the world. We can distinguish four stages in the history of the world. First stage, before God called Abraham. The world was in darkness until God revealed himself personally, as we may say, to Abraham. Then Abraham, the father of all the believers, was followed by the prophets who revealed God even more clearly and deeply. Then Christ came, and he revealed things that, as he said, had been hidden from the foundations of the world. God himself in human form revealed who God is and what God wants us to do. But Christ himself, though he revealed quantitatively all that the world needs to be saved, yet then would send the Holy Spirit, who would reveal qualitatively depth and understanding of what he had revealed. And we are living in the last stage of God's manifesting himself and his will to the human race. However, although we are the inheritors, first of Abraham, then of Christ, then of the Holy Spirit, we are the most enlightened people on the face of the earth. We have received the fullness of God's revelation. What we need to remind ourselves, and that's a weak verb, what we should warn ourselves is that God wants the rest of the world that is not received either what God revealed to Abraham, or what Christ has revealed, or what, though Christ revealed, have not received the gifts of the Holy Spirit as have come since Pentecost Sunday. We've been baptized, we've been confirmed, and we have received the fullness of God's revelation. But we have a responsibility, and I am sure never in the history of the human race has there been a more stark contrast between those who have received the fullness of God's revealed truth and believe it, and those who are still, in John's language, sitting in darkness and the shadow of death. If there is one thing that especially the recent popes, and with greatest emphasis the present Holy Father, is insisting on, we in the communications age, what are we to communicate in this communications age? The fullness of God's truth that we have received. This is a grave duty. It's a responsibility. It's an obligation. And we have no choice. When I give homilies like this, or priest that I gave the retreat to in Loyola Retreat House in Falkland, Maryland, I say to myself, and of course you better tell myself, am I living up to the grave responsibility of sharing this truth that God has so undeservedly given me? That is the comma, that is the comma, that is the greatest need in the world today. To know God's truth, know the fullness of His revealed message of salvation, and share it with others. They may say, God depends on us. And woe to us if we do not communicate in today's communications age the fullness of God's revealed message of salvation to those whom God puts into our lives. Lord Jesus, enlighten us to realize our responsibility, because depending how generously and, dare I say, costfully we can communicate God's revealed truth to others, our salvation depends on it. Lord Jesus, give us the light and the courage to do so. And no matter what embarrassment to our own self-esteem. Amen. In the name of the Father, and of the Son, and of the Holy Spirit. Amen. Let your face shine on your servant, and teach me your ways. The Lord be with you. A reading from the Holy Gospel according to Mark. Jesus said to his disciples, "Do not think that I have come to abolish the law of the prophets. I have come not to abolish them, but to fulfill them. Of this much I assure you, until heaven and earth pass away, not the smallest letter of the law, not the smallest part of a letter, shall be done away with, until it all comes true. That is why whoever breaks the least significant of these commands and teaches others to do so shall be called least in the kingdom of God. Whoever fulfills and teaches them shall be called great in the kingdom of God." This is the gospel of the Lord. If there's one thing that is distinctive about the teaching of Christ, it is that what he built on the old law, he elevated the old law beyond anything even conceivable before the coming of Christ. In other words, the morality of the New Testament is infinitely higher than that of the old. Is that ever, is that ever important today? When God came into the world, he did not merely tell people to keep the Ten Commandments. That too, but much more. You name the virtue: humility, chastity, patience. Christ, being God, not only told his followers to obey the Decalogue, he raised the Decalogue to such heights as had never been, I don't say preached, but even thought possible before. Not only are we to not be proud or assertive or demanding of others, not only are we not to sin externally and overtly by sins against chastity, we are even to control our thoughts, even not to deliberately give in to proud thoughts or unchaste thoughts. We are to master our interior sinful movements of the soul. All of this is the teaching of Christ. Yet, as by now we know, numbers are not unimportant. You just don't, as in Chicago, close 62 Catholic churches without a reason. You just don't close 80% of the Catholic schools in the United States since the Second Vatican Council. You just don't empty the seminaries and novitiates, most of them in America, closed without a reason. And the reason, how it pains me to say this, the reason is that those who had received the faith from Christ through the church he founded have please God, I'm talking to the wrong audience, have conformed to the non-Christian world in which we live, and how hard it is to stand up courageously, fearlessly, and I don't say preach, even live up to what we know, that Christ came into the world to tell his followers how they are to live. Christ's teachings, when he said, I have come not to abolish the law, but to elevate and complete it, is literally true. 4 years now, I've been saying, only heroic Catholics will survive in today's secularized, paganized America. Lord Jesus, we believe you are our God. We believe when you came into the world, you did not teach your followers, as did Isaiah or Moses or any of the prophets. You told your followers to not conform to the world, to live up to your humanly impossible commands. But dear Lord, we are weak. We need your grace to do the humanly impossible in a world that has gone mad in its pursuit of self-will. Dear Jesus, help us to become like you, even though the world, as a consequence, hates us. Amen. In the name of the Father, and of the Son, and of the Holy Spirit. Amen. Hallelujah.
Hallelujah.
We praise you, God. We acknowledge you as Lord. Your glorious band of apostles extols you. Hallelujah.
Hallelujah.
The Lord be with you.
And also with you.
A reading from the Holy Gospel according to Matthew.
Glory to you, Lord.
Jesus said to his disciples, as you go, make this announcement. The kingdom of God is at hand. Cure the sick, raise the dead, heal the lepers, expel demons. The gift you have received, give as a gift. Provide yourselves with neither gold nor silver nor copper in your belts. No traveling bag, no change of shirt, no sandals, no walking staff. The workman, after all, is worth his keep. Look for a worthy citizen in every town or village you come to, and stay with him until you leave. As you enter his home, bless it. If the house is deserving your blessing, let it stand on it. If it is not, your blessing will return to you. This is the gospel of the Lord.
Praise to you, Lord Jesus Christ.
On the feast of St. Barnabas, the companion of St. Paul and the Apostle, we might remind ourselves of our own responsibility to spread the true faith. God became man in the person of Jesus Christ. He worked miracles, he preached, he died on the cross, and he rose from the dead. Christ surely did not need help in redeeming the world. Yet, he preached for only 3 years. Then, as we know, he left the earth
and then back to heaven, now as a God-man. But he made sure that before Christ left the earth, he had, what shall we call him? Cooperators, assistants, helpers. God did not need to choose the apostles and then have them proclaim the gospel to the rest of the world. But he did so. Our responsibility to share the faith, I never tire repeating. And I say to myself, I wonder, I wonder, I wonder how many Catholics realize the duty we have to spread the true faith. The scandal of millions in the Hispanic world since the Council, the figures are over 40 million that have been lost to the Catholic Church. And the numbers are increasing, especially in once Christian countries like the United States. The need, therefore, for us to ask ourselves, what am I doing to spread the faith? I seldom say this publicly. In the eyes of many, Father Hardin is a fool. Why doesn't he stay home and mind his own business? But I know, dear God, how well I know, how hungry the people are, and in our own United States, how hungry for the truth that God revealed in Jesus Christ. May I suggest that we all examine our consciences and ask ourselves, what am I doing? What am I doing to be convinced of the faith I possess, which others have so generally shared with me? What am I doing to spreading that faith, communicating that faith, and like Barnabas, dying for that faith? Lord Jesus, we thank you. We thank you for the example and zeal of St. Barnabas. Inspire us, dear Jesus, through his merits, with zeal for spreading the faith you came on earth to preach to mankind. Amen. In the name of the Father, and of the Son, and of the Holy Spirit. Amen.
Hallelujah. I am the light of the world, says the Lord. He who follows me will have the light of life. Hallelujah. The Lord be with you. A reading from the Holy Gospel according to Matthew. Jesus said to his disciples, you obey the commandment, you shall not commit adultery. What I say to you is, anyone who looks lustfully at a woman has already committed adultery with her in his heart. If your right eye is your trouble, gouge it out and throw it away. Better to lose part of your body than to have it all cast into Gehenna. Again, if your right hand is your trouble, cut it off and throw it away. Better to lose part of your body than to have it all cast into Gehenna. It was also said, whenever a man discovers that his wife is unfaithful in divorce, he must give her a decree of divorce. What I say to you is, everyone who divorces his wife, lewd conduct is a separate case, forces her to commit adultery. The man who marries a divorced woman likewise commits adultery. This is the gospel of the Lord. The passage we've just read from Matthew's gospel is a single, principal, primary, most important reason for the loss of by now hundreds of millions of persons belonging to the Catholic Church. I repeat, this is the main reason why whole nations have broken with Catholic unity. There is no single teaching of Jesus Christ, none, zero, none, that is more demanding on human nature and that more surely distinguishes a true Christian and for our purpose an authentic Catholic than this. None. This is it. In other words, the practice of chastity before marriage, outside of marriage, by not even internally, deliberately indulging in sexual thoughts or fancies. And for married people, fidelity, one man to one woman for life. This is it. There's only one reason why the whole Eastern world was lost to the Catholic Church, becoming what we now call it Orthodox Christianity. There's only one reason, and Martin Luther and his followers tore six nations from the Catholic Church: Norway, Sweden, Denmark, Scotland, England, and Wales, and whole parts of Switzerland and Germany. There's only one fundamental reason why the Catholic Church is hated, and the verb is hated, by her enemies. The most fundamental reason is her teaching of Christ's insistence. Either we practice chastity or we lose our souls. To believe that is to be a Catholic. To not believe that is, whatever the profession the person may have, including the whole hierarchy of England, except one bishop who paid for it by losing his head in the time of Henry VIII. Lord Jesus, open our eyes to the life of heroic chastity that we must practice in today's sex-mad world if we hope to be your disciples and your followers, but even, dear Jesus, to save our souls in eternity. Lord, give us the wisdom to know, and especially the courage to follow you, the chaste Son of God. Amen. In the name of the Father, and of the Son, and of the Holy Spirit. Amen.